Welcome to the podcast. This is Dave Say, graphic designer.
And this is photographer Sid Caesar.
Welcome back.
And we're back.
To us.
We're back. Oh my God, we're back.
This is really loud.
Is it? That's just because you're not used to doing this for so long.
Not used to do it.
Yes. We are back after, I don't even want to figure out how long it's been. Let's see. The last time we did one of these was January 18th, 2013. So we started the year with one, and it looks like we're wrapping up the year with one, at least.
Yeah, so we're, I think we're still calling this season five.
we're horrible with our seasons.
But it'll be like Battlestar Galactica. Remember when that like three episodes came out and we had to wait like 2.5 years?
Yes.
Until the second season came out or
something
like that.
We're just baiting the fans, that's all.
I don't think we have any anymore.
We have Kenta Koga. Kenta Koga, Kenta Koga, Kenta Koga. I made an update saying we were recording one, and he instantly liked it. Yes.
Really?
He did, and he saw it.
You know, like, there's one thing you need to remember, which is to speak directly into the microphone.
Oh, yeah. There's so many things to learn. Relearn. Again.
Yep.
But it's like riding a bike. We'll get the hang of it.
I think so.
We'll have to get Kenta Koga on the show since he's such a big fan.
We should. You know, actually, Bar Camp Manchester, which is the unconference for technical geeks and fans of Linux and
Linux.
Games like Cards Against Humanity.
It's
like, it's if you do any kind of software development in for the web or for, you know, like one of the many area technical companies that use software people, this is where they all get together in Manchester.
Yes.
The Muirs, Ian and Kelly Muir.
Yes.
With a host of other volunteers put this together. And if you want to get your technology stick going.
Stick.
Whatever that means. It's November 9th, I think, this year. We'll check in the show notes. And
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. And so we're recording from an entirely new part of the studio, too.
Yep. You flipped things around.
I did. And it's so much better.
It's
so much better. I've been, for those of you who don't know, I've been in the same building since 2004. So we're coming up on 10 years that I've had a studio
really?
In this building.
Wow.
It's crazy. And I've been in this particular studio that we're in on the top floor since the beginning of 2006. And ever since moving in, I didn't like the way it was. I just sort of arranged everything, and I never really liked the way it was set up. And, you know, I was always like, man, if I could flip everything around, if I could have the shooting area where the computers are, and if I could have the computers where the shooting area, I think it would just work better. So this summer, on probably the hottest day of the summer, I decided that was going to be the point where I was going to try to rearrange the studio. And
you were so cranky.
I did this once before, too. Like, I always wait until the hottest week of the year. And it was like, I think it was in July, and it was literally like 100 and something degrees in the studio. The one bad thing about this studio is that it gets really hot in the summer because I'm on the top floor and heat rises and we're in a brick building. And, but it looks good. I shut the studio down for a week and I switched everything around, and it just feels so much more intuitive. And it just looks better. The shooting area now is completely freed up. I'm so happy with it.
Did you take before and after pictures?
I did. I've got them on Flickr. I took pictures like every couple of years. I take a picture of the studio and just throw it on Flickr because for some reason things that I do like that gets a lot of Flickr attention.
People like workspaces.
They do. They like to see what other people, you know, like what other people are doing and what they have for workspaces. And even when I take pictures of like camera bags and stuff, that seems to be the images that get the most hits.
People like stuff.
They want to know how stuff is working and they want to know how it all works. So it's good. So I'm very happy with the turnout. And as we know, it works tremendously well because we had our good friend Ian Ethan do a little house studio concert.
Yeah, that was great.
On last Friday night, and we had a pretty decent turnout. It's the first time I've ever tried anything, but that new shooting area just works perfectly as a little stage, which I'm very happy with. And so we tried out something new. I was calling it the BYOC concert series, the Bring Your Own Chair series, because we don't have any chairs here at the studio. So people brought like their camping chairs, their folding camping chairs and stuff like that. And I thought it went very well.
It went pretty well.
It was a good space. It sounded pretty good. And Ian brought his own amplifiers and speakers and stuff. And I think a good time was had by all.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So that's been nice. I've been enjoying the look of the new space. And we have the table now set up at the far end. So I can just look over everything before us including my awesome new stoplight I just bought at the flea market on Sunday.
Oh yeah, that traffic light up
the
there?
Traffic light, the blinky traffic light. I love it. I don't know why. I think it is because of like just growing up watching Mr. Rogers when I was little, and the camera would always pan past that blinking light, and I was just like, and I saw like a real one. There was a real one at the flea market one time. Yeah. And I was like, ugh. And Sarah was like, there's no way we're buying that because it's too much money. Yeah, it was pretty big. And I was like, oh, that's so awesome. I just want this stupid blinking thing. So I found one. It was like this. It's like a Spencer gift ones. It's made out of plastic. But it's got the red, yellow, and green blinky lights.
Yeah, they're all blinking at the same time, too.
Isn't that awesome?
Vaguely disturbing. I'll just blink twice in a row. It's like, go, no, stop.
My
go.
Plan is to leave it on at all times, which probably means the light bulbs are going to blow out within like 6 hours. But it also has a double plan because I can also take it down now and I can put it in the window. And so if people are looking for the studio, I can just say, look for the building that has the blinking traffic light in it.
Ah.
And so that should be able to generate, you know, people should be able to see that.
That's a good idea.
Yes.
I like it.
I didn't have like an open sign, so I figured I'll use a blinky traffic light because that's unique.
You know, since January, is this the first... Was that the first public event you've had in the studio this year? Because you didn't do Art Walk this year.
No, I haven't. I think it is. I think it. We had Art Walk last month, and we had a wedding to go to, so we didn't get to do Art Walk this year. We have a Picker Building holiday open studios coming up in December.
It's like the 7th, right?
Yeah, and it's up on the Picker Building website. I'll probably link to that. I think it's on a Sunday from 12 to 5 p.m. And it's just sort of, it's sort of like a mini Art Walk where just the studios are going to be open so that people can come in and buy all their wares for the holiday season.
Oh, so you're going to be open?
I think so. I'm not quite sure yet.
Okay.
But I think I am. I don't think I have anything else on the calendar that day. So I might be open.
Yeah.
People have a hard time when they come in this space because they don't exactly know what it is that I do. I mean, I do photography, but... They're used to, when you go on the second floor of the building, you have a lot of people that produce little things that you can buy and gift, like jewelry. And when they come in here, and I've got examples on the wall there, I think sometimes they're like, well, how do you, you know, like, how do I give a gift of photography to somebody? And I do suggest you can do gift certificates and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's not quite the same, though.
No, it's, I'm not really a retail type of thing.
Yeah, I guess the point of something like this is to... Well, people are going out and they want to bring something back with them.
Yes.
It's like if I go to something like this, like I'll say I have $10 and I want to get something that's $10 that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Or something that speaks to me in some way.
Yep.
So you had to think in terms of, you know, that price point.
Yep.
Maybe it's a gift or maybe it's a promotional thing. Something to remember you by.
Yeah.
And then also to be memorable. I guess that would be the challenge.
Yes.
But yeah, it's... You could, I guess, just be open for friends to come out.
Yeah, when we do Art Walk, we do get a lot of people that come in year after year just to make sure I'm still here. Lots of friendly faces that pop in. And
just set up as a mini art show. People come in, they see it, and, you know, they might like something. And we just hand out the cards so people know what you do.
Yeah, it gives me an excuse to hand out, you know, my little buttons and stuff like that, which reminds me I have to order some new buttons.
Yeah, order buttons.
Order buttons, but yep. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, so maybe people will be, they'll say it's not a retail thing and they'll leave, but, you know, if they like your work.
Yes.
And they'll take away something of you that they can remember. And, like, maybe there's a piece you can print out before then and they just take it with them.
Right.
Know? It's like maybe it's something you shoot even now.
Yeah.
Give you an excuse to get out and, like, shoot in the cold.
It's true.
And it could, you know, if it's anything Nashua, that probably would work.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've been here long enough. There's probably some places you can go to take some...
like landmark stuff.
Yeah, some landmark things. I don't know. Yeah. That's an interesting question.
Yeah.
So
that's been good. And then another thing that's excited me tremendously is I've sort of added an unofficial second person to the studio name. And that's my wife. My wife. It's still strange saying that. But Sarah's sort of become my business manager person.
Excellent.
And what her job is to do is she's making first contact with all the places I'm trying to get a hold of, like recording studios and music labels and magazines and that sort of thing. So we take a list of places that we research And then she makes the first initial phone call. And it's been, so far, it's been really good. I mean, she's called three places, and out of that three places, two of them have already asked me to send.
That's a great hit rate.
A media kit, yeah. And so it takes a lot of pressure. It relieves a lot of stress that I have, that I have been dealing with a long time. And you've seen it. I'm not good with, it just always feels like there's way too much stuff that I have to worry about.
It is very difficult to promote yourself if you're,
it is.
If you're not the kind of person to think like that. Like I have the same problem. I don't like to toot my own horn or tell people right. that like, oh, I do amazing work.
Yep.
Because I think like, oh, I'm opening myself up to criticism, or it's not that amazing, and there's so many people who are better than me, and like but like I have no problem telling other people about things that
about
I've
good
seen.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, like I've seen this, like you should talk to so and so. Like he does amazing this.
Yep.
Or talk to so and so. Incredible jewelry. You know, stuff that I actually, you know, like feel really good about.
Yep.
You know, and just a lot of angst when you're talking about
it. It's just stressful. And so it's been good. She's been sort of calling like one place. We've sort of got a little match down. She's going to call four places a week. And then on the last day of the week, anybody that's requested kits, my Friday is going to be sort of my mailing kit day.
That's nice.
So that'll be nice. And I can already sort of feel the stress relieved a little bit knowing that somebody else is sort of taking that task on.
Yeah. There's some advice that people give to new business owners, which is to make sure that you have a partner to help take on that some of that stuff. And doing the stuff solo is very difficult.
It is. It's hard. It's hard.
Yeah. So that's great.
Yeah. So that's
we should get her on the show.
We should.
Sarah, tell us about the Sid Caesar business development.
She's so
program.
Quiet. She's just like, oh, well, well. She gets really quiet.
She has no problem talking on the phone. It's just like the phone.
It's just like the phone. Yeah.
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 And you can tell us what's going on. She knows all the stuff that's going on.
She does.
We could have like the book minute. That would be great. Lots
her
of books out there.
And she reads an awful lot of books.
Yep.
An awful lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what else has been going on in the last 9 months?
Let's see. The last podcast was in January. Let's go month by month. January. This is when I did that. I did that mark that the product of the day thing. Was that in March? Was that after the podcast? Or did I talk about it on the podcast?
What did we talk about? You talked about you had a new productivity tools page.
Oh yeah.
You were talking about
that was only this year.
You were talking about Gumroad being a dead simple digital download store.
What it is.
We had done those Red River Theater interviews with the puppets where asked the puppets questions about what their favorite movies were.
That seems so long ago.
It does.
And yet it doesn't seem that long ago either.
Yeah.
Well, I would break down this year for me into maybe three stages. So I was trying to get smarter about my business activities. Like right now even back then, there were two main things that I did business-wise. One of them was, I would describe it as legacy design work.
Yeah.
Existing clients that knew me or had found out that I did something. and so that was things like interactive design, helping people with their websites, some consulting, some museum work for interactive things, which is still going on. In fact, I have a big new project for that going on right now, which is taking up a lot of time.
Huh.
But what the goal was for me is like, a few months later, I figured I would call it creative independence, which was what I was looking for.
Okay.
The idea of having the means to pursue my creative interests, that was like, how could I build that? That's kind of my goal.
Yep.
Because I want to be really lazy and have a lot of time and freedom. But to do that, I need to have money that's coming in. And I thought that the idea behind that was if I could come up with some kind of product to sell, you know, something that I could feel good about, that I could stand behind. And it turned out I had been making all these various productivity forms and time tracking things that people liked. And if I could package them or learn to package them into something that people could say, okay, I'll pay $5 for that.
Yep.
And get like 100 people to buy that over the year. $500 times $5, which is $2,500. And if I had 10 things doing that, that's 25,000 bucks.
Yeah.
Like, and with me just, you know, sitting and watching them ship. You know, so that's, you know, because I was setting up automatic fulfillment.
When you're not dealing with international stuff.
Well, yeah, that came later on in the year. That was like the expansion. So like, I said like, okay, I'm going to have a month because I like epic challenges. Those get me out of bed. I'm going to try to make a new product to sell or possibly sell one day for every day of the month. So wow. I came with 30 of them. And it was exhilarating. It was like running, like I was like full blown creative mode. So I was like, okay, what can I do today in like about 90 minutes before I had to go back to my other work? And I said, well, this old calendar I should update. I haven't done this in years, or I have this funny idea of maybe using a fortune teller cootie catcher thing.
Yep.
And I did that, and it was exciting, and it got me some new blog readers. It made me realize that like there's nothing really stopping me from doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so that was very exciting. But then I realized afterwards, okay, I have 30 new things that I could possibly sell, but nowhere to sell them. So I had to like, all right, now I had to get back to the marketing stuff. How do I tell people about this? How do I make an e-commerce store? How do I handle payment? How do I take credit cards? How do I ensure that those credit cards are safe so mm-hmm. I am not liable for things? So then after that, the month after the product a day challenge, I think it was February. But the month after that was like the marketing challenge, and that was really demotivating because I didn't at the time my attitude toward the task was very poor. And so like I had to make all these things. I had to talk that nothing was certain. All the systems that I was looking at seemed like really poorly designed and implemented. And like I hate stuff that's not well put together. You know, I'm really kind of fussy about that. So like after that, it was just kind of a long slog of like, you know, putting together, I redesigned the front page of my website.
Yep.
So I could highlight these new things I did. And that took like a month. It was like incredibly like tedious and like, it looks okay. And, you know, but I haven't come back and like really updated it since then. And then just getting the fulfillment systems working because Amazon.com, I'm using Amazon.com for taking orders for these printed versions of the products I was making.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been working well since about 2009.
Yep.
But every once in a while, they introduce some new rule that makes me really angry. And it's like, I need to make sure that I have an option. So I spent like another, I think, 2 months like looking at using a service called Shopify and then connecting it with another fulfillment business called Shipwire and tying it in with another payment processor called Stripe.
Huh.
And, you know, just trying to find the information about, like, what works how, how to pay, how much does it really cost. All this stuff is really confusing, or it's ambiguous in places.
Yep.
You know, and then I was getting requests from, like, there was this one store in L.A. that wanted to stock, you know, some of my stuff. And I was, like, all excited. And they asked me, so what's your wholesale pricing? I said, what's that? So then I had to look at what wholesale pricing really was, and then I got back to the person, but by then, like, they had lost interest. And so I've been having to put together all these little systems.
Yeah.
And so that was, I would say that was the second phase of this year, and that lasted until about, let's say, like, end of August, September.
Hmm.
And that's when these other projects started ramping up. And then, like, for July and August and September, I was really concerned about life balance.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of stuff going on, and it was, like, you know, kind of getting a little bit overwhelming.
Huh.
Because, you know, like, I wanted to be working on this. I knew I should be working on the business stuff that would pay off in the long term.
Yeah.
Like, for my business stuff. In the meantime, there were projects that I was doing for clients. You know, I don't have that many now, but I'd still need to do those in a timely manner.
Yeah.
I had been volunteering for some local arts, you know, type stuff, part of the ongoing, like, how do artists promote themselves? How can they use web technologies? How can they do it in a way that they maintain their independence and ability to update the sites themselves without me having to be there?
Right.
You know, the idea is to decouple my time from income. Yeah. So like, I don't want to like, you know, this sounds terrible. I don't want to have to like put in an hour to make an hour's worth of money.
Okay.
I want to spend that hour building a system that does the work for me.
Yep.
This is kind of like the programmer credo, you know, you make a really awesome program and it does these great things for you, but you've put all this work into making that.
Yes.
And the same thing applies to business. You know, this is the difference between someone, I think, who grows up as someone who's learned how to make things,
mm-hmm.
versus someone who's grown up learning how to make systems that make money.
Yep.
The idea that you spend your time to build something that you own, you know, it's like holding, it's like making your own golden goose.
Yep.
You know. So anyway, so after I figured out the balance stuff, just like yesterday, I realized I was feeling pretty good about having managed some of the balance things.
Yeah.
So like, okay, I've got the client stuff going on, the business stuff I know works now. It's really just a matter of me putting the time into it. I understand that art itself or creativity itself means going through the forest of uncertainty. And like that's the process. And so now knowing that, having just realized it with a big duh like one day, I'm much better about like dealing with uncertainty. Mm-hmm. Just by like I can manage it, so I don't get mad at it anymore.
Right.
Just like that's the process. We move through it, and we find out what we find. So at the end of all of this, you know, long story short, tend is that I realized that like for the past year I was in a new job.
Huh.
And that first year, when you're in a new job, you're not really sure what you're supposed to be doing or if you're doing it well.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember any last time you were in like any kind of like a job, retail or commercial job situation. Yeah. The first 6 months, you're adapting. You're kind of learning how to do your job.
Yep.
Hopefully, there's people there helping you and telling you what to do. If you're an independent, no one's telling you what to do.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And actually, for this past year, like it took me to kind of get my head around what I was doing and become comfortable with it. And then telling myself, like, all right, the business stuff, if I keep making these products, they'll work. It's fine. I know they will work. I just need to put the time in it.
Yep.
The client balance stuff, like I've taken steps to reduce the number of new jobs and I'm not overlapping them anymore. So like I'm very much limiting the number of meetings and so forth because it's like one third of what's important to me right now.
Mm-hmm.
So one third is like client stuff, maintain those good relations. Another third is the business stuff. I need to be spending that, like, you know, anything I can do to make that machine work.
Yeah.
You know? And then the third one is like the local connections, you know, things like this podcast, like, you know, talking to local artists, helping, you know, contributing my knowledge where I can help.
Yep.
And that's pretty much the balance. And somewhere along the way, is going to the gym fell out of that, so I'm going to have to figure out how to put that back in. But but I feel pretty good about it now. Like going into next year, I had hoped that all these things would be fixed by now. But I have to say, I feel I've made some good progress on it. So you know, that's kind of been my year.
Good. Good. So how many products do you have on the market now?
Let's see. This year, I think I added one. So there's a bunch of digital like planner things.
Mm-hmm. And you've been updating all of the planners and stuff, right?
No, not yet. No. I had to do them before the beginning of the year.
Okay.
So that should be happening soon. I guess the one thing that's new has been just collaborating with more people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one thing related to the third thing I was saying, that is connecting with people, realizing that my website, the blog, was like a major part of that.
Yeah.
Before, I think the previous 2 years I was focusing more on local connections.
Okay.
But there's a lot of people out there who, you know, like the stuff that I'm doing, like the same kind of things, are doing cool things that impress me and inspire me.
Mm-hmm.
I need to make sure that I'm accessible to those people.
Yes.
So continuing to write about the things that I like, you know, unapologetically.
Yep.
Putting the signal out there.
Yes. Yes.
And so I've been spending a lot more time on the website responding to emails. And
you know,
I haven't been doing as much writing as I had hoped. But in general, you know, just like collaborating with people. People will write me and say, like, I had this idea for this. I said, that's awesome. Let me make something like that. How much will it cost? It won't cost anything. I'll just make it. And if it's okay with you, I'll post the question on the website.
There you go.
Thing, and let's see what people say. Because nice. This is, you know, it's the website itself is not really designed to drive traffic to the sale stuff, which is how I was thinking it had to be in the middle of the year.
Yeah.
It really is to enable new conversations with people.
Yep.
And that's the model. The blog is an extension of me as Dave, the person you want to hang out with and talk about paper.
Yes.
Or like brainstorm about weird ideas for making things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that's its purpose. And everything else kind of goes around that. It's the same. It's an extension, basically, of how I try to be as a person in real life. Like, how can I be my best self? How can I be helpful? How can I add to the discussion in a positive way?
Mm-hmm.
The website should be that, and it should be more fun, I think. You know, it's a little bit maybe heavily weighted toward figuring stuff out, because that's where my head has been.
Yep.
You know, posting more fun things and making sure that those fun things are just out there, accessible to people.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's come together.
Yes.
So maybe next year I'll write the book, because it feels like I figured out a few things I can
go on the book tour, meet Dave Say in person, signing.
Maybe I can hire someone to do that for me.
Nice.
We'll see.
Good.
Yeah.
What else?
I'm surprised this thing's still going.
Click, click.
Yeah, we've got like 2 or 3 minutes left until the. You can see the red. There's this red bar creeping across, recording our voices, and the blue bar up there.
Is that where the music
starts queuing? Oh, so what's going on?
Nothing. I want to talk about my awesome camera strap that I bought. I've tried not to be very materialistic over the last couple of years and limit my purchases to like one or two a year. And I just bought this beautiful, beautiful camera strap. It's by these people called Holdfast Gear, and it's made in the USA, and it's like this leather bandolier camera strap that you wear like you put it on like a vest, and it has these two leather straps that go underneath your arms, and then it's kind of like those rapid straps. It's like an R strap, but everything is made out of leather and has these really big buckles and stuff. And you can attach two cameras to it. And the good thing, I've been wearing it nonstop because I want to break the leather in and make it nice and soft.
Yep.
And it's just beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. It's expensive, and I wish the prices were a little bit cheaper, because it's basically just two belts riveted together. But it's really, really nice.
And it is really nice.
It feels really good. So I've just been trying to wear it in and keep rubbing the leather with my fingers all the time. Uh-huh. And stuff. And we'll post a link to that and all kinds of things. But so not bad for our first return 30-minute kind of thing.
Yeah, we're thinking about playing with the format too. I'm not sure how that's going to work. I think now that we're kind of back in the rhythm of things, maybe we'll be able to schedule these more often to get people in.
Yep.
So an idea was like to do some more, like maybe short 5-minute focused topic thoughts.
Yeah.
And just sort of like combine them at the end of the week. So we're chewing the fat, we're shooting the breeze, maybe we're talking to people, maybe just record a conversation.
Oh, that'd be, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of working up to the point where we start doing documentaries.
Yeah. It's too bad we don't have like those little pocket recorder things that we could just carry around with us at all times.
I have one.
Do you?
Yeah, I used it for the Incubot video shoot.
Oh.
Because our backup video. Backup audio. So we got one of those.
So maybe we could do a little like on location.
That's a good thing. There's nothing stopping us. I should just start carrying it around with
Yeah.
me. They're not that expensive either. It was like $90.
That's not bad.
Yep. Yeah. You could buy like a, I don't know.
And we have been doing video. I did a video for Ian Ethan. I don't know, 3 months ago or something, we did his first sort of like promotional video.
Right.
And we did it at Studio 101A in Amherst. And it's up on the internet, and we'll post a link to that. And it came out really, really well, and he's really happy. And he's like, there's been a bunch of professional musician websites that have been sharing it and getting a lot of interest.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll post a link for that.
Yeah.
So that's the podcast for, what is it, October 28th?
It's Monday, October 28th, 2013.
Yep. We're going to try to do these regularly.
Yes.
Thanks to Michael Bellar and the As Is Ensemble again for the awesome music.
Visit him at michaelbellar.com. And we'll see everybody next week. Until then, this is Photographer Sid Caesar. And Dave's got his microphone.
So loud.
Do your call out. All I can do is call out.
See you next week.
Woo! Bye.